This morning, I endeavored to preach some from the second chapter of Philippians, and that's still heavy on my mind tonight, and I would like to return to that portion of Scripture with you in Philippians chapter 2, and let's notice what the Apostle Paul would say in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And today after service, as a dear sister came up to me who had battled cancer some years ago, and she said, "Brother Sam, when I was so sick, I memorized verse 13 of chapter 2. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." She told me, she said, "I don't know how much time I have left on earth, but I know I want to do God's will while I'm here. And I want him to be working in me." How many of us tonight really want that? We want God working in us. Both, notice the text. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God not only gives us the desire to do what's right, he gives us the ability. Somebody might say, "Now, Brother Sam, I have a desire to live right, but I just don't have the ability. I just can't help it." You know that old can't help it doctrine? Well, according to this text, God not only gives us the desire, the will to do what's right, he gives us the ability to do it. So if we don't do what's pleasing in his sight, it's not his fault. It's our fault. His grace is sufficient to help us do anything that God calls on us to do. And whatever God calls on us to do is reasonable. It's a reasonable service. You know what Paul said to the Romans? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your unreasonable service." No. In light of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, it's very reasonable that he would ask us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice in his service. So now, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." I'm not going to elaborate on that text again tonight, but just to say that God does not want you murmuring, doesn't want me murmuring or complaining about the weather, about the economy. He doesn't want us complaining about our parents, our siblings, our kids. He doesn't want us murmuring. That doesn't mean that there aren't problems in life, but murmuring is not the way to deal with them. If you've got a problem, first of all, take it to the Lord in prayer. Didn't we sing that song tonight, "I Need the Prayers of Those I Love"? How many of y'all need the prayers of those you love? I do. I desire your prayers. I covet your prayers. And that's one way to deal with life's problems. And then if there's somebody in your life that's really offending you, you need to go to them in humility and in love and tell them how they're hurting your feelings or offending you and try to work it all out. But murmuring will not help. Disputings, that is fussing, among ourselves, that has never helped anything. You know, if you've got a leak in the roof of your house, is it going to help to sit over in the corner in your easy chair and complain and murmur about all that water that's coming through the roof? That's not going to fix it. But if you got a leak, it needs to be fixed, and you need to either do it yourself or get somebody that can help you. So the Bible isn't saying that we don't have problems, but the Bible is saying we shouldn't murmur about them. We shouldn't complain about them, but that we ought to take them to the Lord in prayer. Now, God works in us. And how does God work in us? Well, I want to turn over this evening. This came to my mind today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul would say to the brethren at Thessalonica and to us here at Cool Springs tonight, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Did you know the word of God can work effectually in our lives? That's one reason we need to be reading our Bibles. Do you ever read the Bible and it convicts you? You ever read the Word of God and it inspires you to do something right? See, the Word of God works effectually in us. "For this cause," says the Apostle Paul, "for the cause of the Word being effectual, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing." You know, I love that thought. Without ceasing, they just keep on thanking God, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. How many of y'all believe this is the word of God? Y'all think it's just the word of men? If it's the word of men, then it's of little value. But the Bible is the word of God, and we're to receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. And when you hear the word of God and it convicts us or rebukes us or inspires us or in whatever way, let's receive it and benefit from it. I remember Elder Daugherty years ago told about somebody. He called them pitchfork Baptist. You know what a pitchfork Baptist is? They're sitting there in church, and if the preacher preaches something they don't like, they just pitch it over to somebody else and say, "I'm glad you were here to get it." Well, I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, you and I need to receive the Word of God in truth and apply it to ourselves. That's when it begins to work in us. "Which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The word of God can make better people out of us. It can make better husbands, better wives, better parents, better children, better neighbors, better pastors, better church members. The Word of God begins to work in us effectually. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when you're at church, and you need to be at church on a regular basis. I heard about a pastor one time who he was a new pastor, and he saw this lady, and she had come a couple of times by herself. And so the pastor said, "Does your husband attend church?" She said, "Oh yeah, he's very faithful. He hasn't missed an Easter in 25 years." Now what good is that going to do us to go to church once a year on Easter Sunday? Another lady came, and the pastor commended her for being very faithful. She said, listen, I work hard all week long. And when I get to church and I sit on those comfortable pews, I just turn my mind off and not think about a thing for an hour. That's not worship. When we are in the house of God, we need to be tuned in and listening to the Word of God. And that's my responsibility and other pastors' responsibility to study the Word that we may be able to feed the sheep and feed the lambs. And so the Word of God works effectually in us when we give attention to it. You know, Jesus in his parable of the sower talked about how the sower goes out to sow. And the sower is the minister of the Word, preaching the Word. The seed is the Word of God. And there's four different kinds of ground that are mentioned in that parable. Some seed fall by the wayside, and the fowls of the air, representing the devil, comes and snatches up the seed, and they don't bear any fruit at all. Some of the seed fall on shallow ground, and they create a little root system, but when the sun comes out, they wither and they die, and those plants never bear any fruit. And then the third kind of soil, the seeds fall in the soil and they bring forth a little fruit. But Jesus said the thorns and the thistles choke out the plant where it doesn't bear any fruit. And you know what the thorns and the thistles represent? They represent the cares of this world and deceitful riches. There's a fourth kind of soil Jesus mentions. It's good soil. And those seed fall into that good soil and they bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now listen, you're here tonight to hear the Word of God. I hope I'm sowing it. I'm sowing it into your mind. You have to determine how you receive it. And whether it bears any fruit in your life. See, that's, the preacher can't determine that. You have to determine that. As one who hears the word, you've got to determine how it's going to affect your life. And let me tell you, the word of God can work effectually in our lives. I remember as a kid, Elder Daugherty's preaching here. When I was very young, began to really affect me. And it stirred up my pure mind. It made me want to love God more and love people more. It made me want to go out and be kind to everybody. See, the Word of God can be effectual. But if we leave here tonight and we haven't been touched or changed at all by the Word of God, it's not going to be effectual. Are y'all getting this? And if there's somebody asleep next to you, punch them, please. Wake them up. Not that I've seen anybody sleeping, but it's not that I'm so important, but the Word is so important. That's what's important. And let me tell you, when the Word of God is being preached or taught, you and I should be listening. And furthermore, how many of y'all have got Bibles in your homes? I bet you everybody here has got two or three Bibles in your home. Now, I hope it's a good King James translation. Tonight, Nelda and I were riding to church, and I had asked her to look up where Paul said that he was like a drink offering that was poured out. And I said, I couldn't find it. She said, well, it's here. She looked on her Bible, but it wasn't a King James translation. So she went on to another, to the Word of God. Now listen, we believe the Word of God was around a long time before the King James 11 Bible. Y'all agree with that? Yeah. I mean, the Word of God had been, it goes back to Moses. The first five books of the Bible have been around a long time. But God, in his providence, has given it to the English-speaking world in the English language. In 1611, God, I believe, in his providence, brought together some of the greatest scholars in England to translate the Bible out of Greek and Hebrew into a language that you and I can understand. And that's a huge blessing. Listen, for centuries in the Roman Catholic Church, the Bible was not available to the common people. It was hidden in Latin and chained, literally chained, to the pulpits of the Roman churches. And the ordinary people didn't even have a Bible. Were you all aware of that fact? What a blessing it is in this land. I want to tell you, America is a great country, and I believe America has done a lot of good things. But one of the greatest things America has ever done is give the world the Word of God. I mean, you would be shocked to know how many Bibles are printed in America every year and sent out all over the world. Are y'all familiar with the Gideons? When Nelda and I lived in Birmingham, we would be invited to a banquet once a year where the Gideons were hosting, and of course they were trying to raise money, but they always had excellent speakers. And they would tell how many hundreds of thousands, millions of Bibles that they would print. And you used to find them in every motel room, on every airplane. Did y'all know that? In every doctor's office, you had the Word of God there. I want to tell you, beloved, we need to get back to this book in America, in our individual lives, because the Word of God works effectually in us. And if you read the writings of our founding fathers, you'll see that they were familiar with the Word of God, and they constantly referred to it in their writings. And you and I need it in our lives. It needs to be guiding our homes, our marriages, our parenting, our being neighbors. Yes, sir, being employees or employers. Let the Word of God work effectually in our lives. I heard about, I think Brother Sonny Piles told about a college professor. He knew, I think maybe this came through his son David, who was a college professor for a number of years in Kansas. And this professor walked into a classroom one day in college and took the Word of God and threw it on the floor and stomped on it and said, "We'll have none of this nonsense in here." Now, brothers and sisters, it's no shock that America is getting worse and worse when we have treated the Word of God so lightly. I want to encourage all of us to avail ourselves of the Word of God. I've got it on my phone, and you can have it on your phone. It's a wonderful app. And a guy who knows how to pronounce every word in the Bible just reads it to me. Sometimes if I'm up in the Old Testament and I'll be reading and I'll come up to a word I can't pronounce, I just say, "Hard word," and read on. This fella can read he can pronounce every word, and that's really helped me. Y'all remember Alexander Scorby, the great English Shakespearean actor who read the whole Bible? Now, it just about put you to sleep, that smooth voice of his. If you ever had trouble at night, just turn the Bible on. The devil will help you go to sleep. He sure doesn't want you to go to sleep listening to the Word of God. But I want to encourage us, beloved, let the Word of God work effectually in us. That's why God gave us the Bible. This one pastor was visiting in a home, and they were discussing Scripture, and he was trying to quote a verse, and he couldn't remember, and so he said to the child, he said, "Go get that book your daddy loves so much." And he brought back the Sears and Roebuck catalog. How many of y'all remember that? They finally got the Bible, and the lady found her scissors. She'd been looking for them for weeks. Let's not let that be the case with us. Let's value the Word of God. You say, Brother Sam, I can't understand it. Well, you can talk to the author, and he'll help you. And I wouldn't suggest you start in Leviticus. If you're just starting to be a Bible reader, don't start in Leviticus. I wouldn't recommend that. But the Psalms. How many of y'all love the 23rd Psalm? Isn't that beautiful? Philippians, this book I'm in tonight. Oh, it's wonderful. Now, let me get back to our text. He would say, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And not only does God work in us through the Word, he works in us through the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 at a verse of scripture that I think will be of interest to you. In chapter 3 and verse 16 of Ephesians, Paul would say that he would grant you, that is, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Listen to that. Paul is saying, I want God to grant it so that according to the riches of his glory, you will be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You and I have awesome enemies. We have formidable foes. The devil is a formidable foe. He's dangerous. He's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Our flesh is a dangerous enemy. The world around us is a dangerous enemy. You and I need help. And I want to tell you, God gives it to us through the Holy Spirit. Listen to it again. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Do y'all see that? The Holy Spirit strengthens us in our inner man. The Holy Spirit does. How many of y'all believe in the Holy Spirit? You know, there's three in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said to his disciples, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to finish my work. He said in John's gospel, he said, if I go away, I won't leave you comfortless. I will send you the Comforter. You know what the Comforter is? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can be with everybody in this house tonight at the same time. When we leave here, we'll be leaving one another, but we won't be leaving the Holy Spirit. He'll be right there with us. And the Holy Spirit is there to strengthen us on the inside. What a blessing it is that God sent the Holy Spirit to bless the church and to empower the church. And then notice, if you will, later on in this chapter, he would say, let's look at verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's talking there about prayer. God, in his goodness and wisdom, has given us access to him through prayer. And beloved, as you and I pray, we're praying to a God who is able, not disabled, unable, half able, but able to do exceeding. That's a big word, exceeding. Did y'all hear that? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let me tell you, beloved, when you begin to pray to this God, you're not praying to a helpless God, a weak God, an old God. You're not praying to somebody that's out of touch. No, you're praying to a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think for. Listen, we're praying to a God that can cause your cup to overflow. Is your cup overflowing tonight? Brother Tracy told me a while back, his saucer was full. How many of y'all do know your cup is running over? God doesn't just give you a little sip now and then. The blessings are overflowing. The Bible didn't say he's got one or two cows on a hill. He's got cows on a thousand hills. See, now y'all know that. Y'all are nodding. Y'all know that's in the Bible. See, that's going to work in you. The Word of God will work in you. We're talking to a God and about a God who owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. In Isaiah 40, Isaiah says, "Behold your God." And you know how he describes him? He says that our God holds the waters in the hollow of his hand. The biggest, strongest, powerful man on earth tonight probably couldn't hold the water in this little bottle in the palm of his hand. Now, I might be corrected. There may be somebody out there with a hand big enough to hold this water. My God holds the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean. I've even seen the Indian Ocean when I was in Africa. Listen, brother. God is holding the waters of this planet in the hollow of his hand. Y'all got anything God can't take care of? Come on now. Let that work effectually in you. Did you know that Isaiah said God can measure the heavens with the span of his hand? You know what the span of a man's hand is from his thumb to his little finger. And God can measure the universe. Did you know the universe is dwarfed in the presence of God? I mean, this is a big universe. They say there's stars out there so big they won't pass between the earth and the sun. Get that. Wrap your mind around that one. And yet my God has numbered the stars and he calls them by name. Now, that's in the Psalms. I can't give you the reference. Give you some homework. Look that up tonight. Find it. In the Psalms, the Bible says God calls the stars by name. And there's billions and billions and billions of them. We're talking to a big God here. And listen, you have access to him through prayer. You can call on him. He's just a prayer away, just right there when you need him. And we sometimes think, you know, I'm not going to bother God with that little problem. None of it's little to him. If you're his child and you got a problem, brother, it's his. If Franklin won't mind me sharing this, one time he was trying to get a trailer hooked up or plows or something hooked up to a tractor. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't get it. Yeah, have y'all ever had that experience trying to hook up something to a tractor? And he had been aggravated with it for a long time. And he finally prayed and God helped him right then. Now he told me that. I believe it. God has given us prayer. And we can just... And I tell you, one of the greatest prayers in the world is help. That's a big prayer, right? Help. Now, don't be always asking for some prayers more than just asking. The pastor asked the young girl in the church, said, "Do you say your prayers every night?" She said, "No, because some nights I don't need anything." Well, I want to tell you, prayer is a lot more than asking, right? You can give thanks. You can confess your sins. There's a lot of things in prayer other than asking. But if you need anything, ask and you shall receive. We have not because we ask not. Why don't we just ask Him? He loves you. You doubt His love? Look at the cross. That'll show you how much He loves you. He gave His Son. If He's already given us His Son, you know He's not going to withhold anything else we need in this world. Wow. We've got an awesome God. I mean, the word awesome is just not big enough to describe God. And you and I just need to be talking to Him all the time. Praying to Him and letting Him work effectually in our lives. I tell you, that's what the apostle says. Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all things that you could ask for or think about, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. All afternoon, after I got a nap, I got to thinking about what that sister told me today after church. Brother Sam, when I was sick with cancer, I just kept praying that He would work in me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How many of y'all really want to go out of here tonight doing God's will? Come on, let's sign up. Let's say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will. I can't, but You can. Wow. How many of y'all really want to do it Your way? You want to really mess up? Do it Your way. Try it. I bet you already have. I have. And I've messed up. Let's do it God's way. On God's schedule. You know a text I love in Romans 5 where it says, in due time, God sent forth His own Son. That's God's time. I used to think, why didn't God send Jesus into this world right after Adam and Eve sinned? I used to think that. Just shows you how foolish my mind is. God sent His Son at the right time. In due time. That's what that word due means, at the right time. And let me tell you, God's working in your life, these children's lives. He's working in all of you tonight. And He's working on His schedule. And I would encourage you not to try to rush Him up. He's never late. He's seldom early. It's in the right time. Our God is working. I want y'all to just leave here tonight. Just put it all in God's hands. One of those songs we sung tonight said something about that. Cast all your care upon Him. He cares for you. I know, I understand. You're human and you're like me, like Nelda, like everybody here tonight. You got your problems. We're living a broken, messed up world. But we've got a God in heaven that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So don't let the devil rob you of the blessing. Well, time is up tonight, but it's been a joy to try to talk to you about how God works in us effectually through the Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit, and through prayer. And I want to encourage all of us to just get as close to Him as we can get. Woo! You say, Brother Sam, God's just not close to me like He used to be. Well, He hadn't moved. I've told this joke before, but mom and pop joke. We used to hear a lot of those. Elder Bird used to tell a lot of mom and pop jokes. You know, I have to give Brother Bird a little credit about every service. Mom and pop was driving down the mountain one day in a Model T, and Ma said to Paul, she said, Paul, why don't we sit close together? Snuggle up like we used to. He's driving. He said, Ma, I ain't moved. That's what God would say to you and me. If we're not close to Him tonight, you know who moved? But the thing is, He's so forgiving. He is so merciful. He is so kind. He doesn't hold grudges. Y'all got any grudges you're holding tonight? If you do, you have my sympathy. Because I want to tell you, that's a burden to bear, holding a grudge in your heart. Being bitter toward anybody. Goodness. Don't harden your hearts. Thank you all for your good attention.